Amanda, Dr. Nicole Alexander-Scott, and Director Smiley will take your follow-up questions.
The conference is now in talk mode.
Hi, Governor. This is Patrick Anderson at the Journal. The new website from Diagnostic Robotics, is this linking into the Salesforce database, and is this a key piece of your contact tracing program and automating the contact tracing without hiring an army of contact tracers?
No. So, but it's a really good question. I mean, the short answer is no. But we are partnering with a company called SurveyMonkey, and that will be hooked into the broader contact tracing and Salesforce infrastructure, and that'll be like a symptom tracking app. You know, so they'll take surveys of you, say a few times a day, on how you're feeling and such. So that, and I think I'll probably do a whole day for one of these pressers, like tomorrow or the next day, just talking about the technology. But this thing that we rolled out today is like a standalone app. We're hearing a lot from people, you know, people are like sitting at home anxious around, is this normal? Is my fever too high? What do I do if I feel like this? So this is more of a tool like that to see if you can get some information around what symptoms you might be feeling. But SurveyMonkey is the thing we're going to use to do the symptom tracking on a one-off basis.
Okay, so they put out a press release, Diagnostic Robotics, saying that this would be a hotspot predictive. It has a hotspot predictive feature and will be used to try to find out, you know, where things are flaring up. It doesn't sound like this is the central tool that you're using to monitor the virus going forward.
Yeah, that's not what this is about today. You know, they probably have that functionality, so they might want us to go there. But for the moment, that's not what this is. And it's more of a tool for individuals.
Okay, thank you.
Because we're not collecting personally identifiable information through this tool. So, you know, people are asked to enter their age and their gender, but not their name, not any personally identifiable information. Because we can't really use it for contact tracing. What we can use it for is data in the aggregate to monitor trends, opposed in that regard to like a high level hotspot tracking.
Got it. Thank you.
Governor, this is Elizabeth McNamara, EG News, on the topic of contact tracing, I heard that there's some talk of mobilizing different sets of volunteers, like Peace Corps volunteers or census volunteers, or not volunteers, Peace Corps workers, census workers, AmeriCorps workers to become contact tracers. What's the plan? How many do we have at this point, and what are your thoughts on enlarging that group?
Yeah, so if you were here, you'd see me smiling. I haven't heard that. maybe you have scoop that I don't know about, but that hasn't been proposed on any of the calls that I've been on. Right now, I think we're up to about 100 people. We're just like 95 or 100 people doing the contact tracing. It is a combination of Department of Health and the National Guard. We are likely to be bringing on a call center company, you know, a virtual call center company, to handle additional volume, and that's how we plan to scale.
Okay. Hi, Governor, this is Katie Mulvaney from the Providence Journal.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, hi. So there's word of a protest that's supposed to take place on Saturday, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that and what
any might be taken if they don't obey any of the social distancing guidelines?
Yeah. So I think they're planning on Saturday. And, you know, you're seeing this happen all over the country. I think it's a natural outgrowth of people being frustrated. And it's, you know, I understand that. Having said that, I'm not going to be pressured into making decisions that I think are bad for Rhode Island. But, you know, they're free to express their views. As for how it will be handled, that's something I'll let Colonel Manny handle in his judgment, depending on, you know, how many people show up, are they congregating. I don't know what they're thinking of in terms of size of the crowd, but the Colonel's a pro, and I'll let him handle that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Governor, would you have any insight on press reports that many of those protests demanding reopening are what's known as astroturfing? In other words, not necessarily true grassroots movements, but political organizations mobilizing them for their own purposes. This is Michael Billot, Motif.
You know, it certainly feels that way. It could be that. I don't know anything more than you do. It's a good question, and it definitely feels that it could be that, just the way they're popping up in unison in the same way with the same messaging, and it doesn't feel necessarily like a groundswell. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything more than you do. I will say that we are, more than any other time since I've been governor, we are collecting lots of feedback from constituents in so many different ways. You know, like my constituent line here at the State House is overrun. We have all kinds of hotlines and phone lines. We're all talking to lots of people every day. And people are certainly hurting financially and certainly sick of being at home. But we're not getting a groundswell of complaints, you know, in the way that you might see if this were a real grassroots thing.
Governor, on that note, there's some state representatives, some other state leaders, municipal leaders, who in one way, shape, or form are trying to rile people up. Just a few moments ago, Justin Price, a state representative, posted a photo of himself with basically an obscenity on a mask, trying to rile up constituents. What's your message to these state leaders that are pushing back against your guidance?
That's really not helpful. It's not smart. It's not based in science or fact. It's not going to influence my decision. And it's not helpful. I mean, that is the opposite of leadership. Leadership is educating people and bringing people together to strengthen us all and lift ourselves up and through this crisis. Preying on people's fears, stoking division, scaring people is the opposite of leadership. And frankly, it's only going to slow down any reentry to reopening this economy. Like, I've spent 6 years reopening the economy. I'm the last person who wanted to close it. But we're going to get back up and running as fast as we can, and we're going to do it safely, and we're not going to be, do it emotionally based on passion or frustration. Because, by the way, if we do, we'll be back in this mess, which is the last thing. And I'm very comfortable with being second-guessed. I get it. It's a really hard time to be a governor in America right now. Governors are making decisions. We're shutting down economies, dealing with the global pandemic, reopening economies, things that have never been done before. And I am certain that there'll be many backseat drivers, Monday morning quarterbacks, and second guessers. But the fact is, we've a job to do, and we're going to do the best we can for Rhode Island.
Doctor, could we get an update, please, on the deaths today, how many were in nursing homes, which nursing homes, and also, Dr. McDonald has said on Sunday that at least 39 nursing homes have at least one case. Is that number still the same?
So, in terms of the unfortunate deaths from today that we reported, 8 of the 10 people who were shared lived in congregate care settings. have that detail for you.
Okay, thank you. This is Steph Machado, Joseph.
Can you explain a little bit more about what needs to be done? You know, you've talked about trying to significantly increase testing. While I recognize that, it's Brian Crandall, while I recognize that Rhode Island is at the top of testing capacity, you said you need to increase a lot to get to where you need to be. What kind of big things can be done to make those big jumps, like adding online another site like the CVS one in Lincoln? What's being done to do that?
So I don't think we need to do that necessarily. That, in that regard, we're in pretty good shape. We're still not where we need to be on the mobile testing for congregate care sites, nursing homes, group homes, developmental disability, congregate living situations. You know, you just saw we had this outbreak at, what's the company, Taylor Farms. You know, that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen, and we're not quite yet at a place where we can do that, what I keep calling mobile testing, like get down there quickly with the machine, test everybody. Also, I've been in touch with a lot of employers, and, you know, they have some pretty big demands about what kind of testing they're going to want to see on their workforces before they're willing to reopen. So it's kind of like being ready for a reopening. Also, the serology testing. That's something where we know we need to do. We are just getting our first test this week. We got to go through the validation process of those. So we need to get that up and running as the next step. So that's another work flow that we have going on.
Which company are you getting that test from?
Well, I'll get back to you on what it is.
Who asked that? It's Steph Machado again.
We'll get, I don't know, Steph. I don't have it.
Okay.
Make sure
Thank
I say the correct one.
Governor, this is Kim Kalunian. I don't know if you could hear the sirens that were circling the State House for the last couple of minutes. It looks like there was a sizable protest that's either just wrapping up outside of the State House and the Department of Health. Some union members protesting because they want more PPE and also hazard pay. This is SEIU 1199 that's protesting. Any response to their demonstration today?
I didn't see it or hear it. Who is it, Kim?
It's SEIU 1199. They're demanding more PPE and hazard pay.
Yeah, listen, I'm working on both. I hear them. I don't know who it is, but look, if you work in a nursing home right now, chances are you're frustrated with not having enough PPE. The whole country is frustrated that we don't have the supply we need. And I hear that. So, you know, we're trying to make it better.
Thanks.
Governor, I've had two people from the same nursing home facility tell me that they have been advised that if they test positive but they're asymptomatic, that they should return to work before the 14-day quarantine. Again, this is coming from two separate individuals. What's your message to a nursing facility that may be short-staffed but is putting pressure on people to go back to work before a 14-day quarantine expires?
We have a very deliberate protocol worked out with nursing homes that is supported by CDC guidance that allows for flexibility with close oversight. Wearing a surgical mask while at work, which is the approach that we have for all nursing home and hospital settings, does allow for the close monitoring that needs to occur with assessing for symptoms. So we work closely with nursing homes to make sure that the screening for symptoms happens before, multiple times during, and after a work shift, that people have the surgical masks that they need, that they have the support to leave if any types of symptoms develop. And with those and other key parameters in place, the guidance that we are following is that it is acceptable to return to work prior to the 841 as the total?
Yeah, it's 5841, whoever just said that.
Oh, sorry, my bad, thank you.
And then also for Steph, we have 49 long-term care facilities with at least one space. We are now testing in all nursing homes, so we do expect that number to continue to go up.
Okay, so on Sunday it was 39 and now it's 49. Is that because of more testing, or is the virus still entering nursing homes for the first time?
No, it's more so the expansive testing that we're doing across nursing home settings. It is giving us a snapshot in time. After we go through the first round, when we begin the cyclical testing that I've referred to as the aggressive approach we're taking with congregate care settings, that will give us more information about whether or not new infections are being introduced in spite of the aggressive infection control procedures that are in place. We do recognize with this virus the challenges of transmission, particularly with people who are pre-symptomatic. They don't have symptoms before they actually develop illness. That's where the mask wearing is key for this particular population of workers.
Okay, thank you for getting that number.
Okay.
To follow up, some of those new cases are from healthcare workers that work in multiple facilities. Is that something you're evaluating?
Yes, we are.
To follow up on the congregate care facilities, is the Department of Health taking any action regarding the COVID positive case at the Wyatt Detention Center, and if so, what are you doing?
Let me get back to you on what the approach is there, knowing that it is a federal facility, and Brett can answer for you.
Again, I think it's Michael. As I said yesterday, the detainee is a U.S. Marshal detainee, actually from Massachusetts. It's not a nice detainee. According to the U.S. Marshal, there is no other reports of any other cases in the facility, but that's all we know, and future questions should be relayed to the management of the Wyatt.
Okay, thank you, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow.